May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text for this morning comes from our gospel lesson, these words from Simeon. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. This is our text. You may be seated. Dear saints, I come before you this morning with some bad news. This is bad news you're probably already aware of, but for the most part, you try to ignore it. So here's the bad news. You are dying, as am I. Each of us, each day, each hour, each minute, each second, we are that much closer to our deaths. Now, you may look around those gathered here this morning and think to yourself, you know, some of these people are closer than I am. But the reality is none of us knows when our time will come. As the events of last Sunday's helicopter crash in California remind us, death can come at any time, even to the strongest of humanity. But unless Christ returns first, there will come that moment for each of us when we will breathe our last breath. Some of you have experienced the death of a loved one more recently than others, but most of us can recall that emptiness that we felt when someone close to us passed away. In the time and place in which we live, death for most of us is not an everyday occurrence, not something that's in our face daily. Now, if you work in an area of medicine where death is common, you see it more than others. But most of us are insulated from seeing death that often. Now, that's not always been the case. There are times in history, during war, during famines, during epidemics, when death is a daily occurrence, or even in parts of our world today that are facing these things. To top it all off, our culture downplays death and the possibility of death. It tells us that if you eat the right things, if you do the right exercises, if you take the right medications, you can hold death off, at least for a while. And our culture often hides people away that are nearer to death, so the rest of us don't have to see it. But death is always lurking, it seems, waiting in the shadows. And when it does strike someone we love, it's a jolt, it's surreal, it's almost unbelievable. In our gospel lesson this morning, we find Mary and Joseph once again fulfilling the requirements of the law with Jesus. Mary is going to the temple to be purified after childbirth. And the other reason they're there is that Mary and Joseph are bringing Jesus because Jesus is the firstborn of Mary. He is to be redeemed, that is, bought back by way of a specific sacrifice. Now, the background of this specific sacrifice of redemption goes all the way back to the book of Exodus. Now, you probably remember the 10th plague that God rained down upon Egypt, where the angel of death took the lives of all the firstborn, people and livestock. But the Israelites were commanded to paint the blood of a lamb on the doorposts and above their doors, so that when the angel of death came to those homes, he would pass over them, sparing all inside. And as Israel is leaving Egypt after this plague, God declares that now all firstborn males of Israel belong to him. They were spared in Egypt, and now they are his. Firstborn animals were to be sacrificed, the males, and firstborn sons were to be bought back or to be redeemed by offering a sacrifice to the Lord. This is because the firstborn belong to the Lord, because he spared them in Egypt. So Mary and Joseph come to the temple to redeem Jesus, to purchase him back for themselves. They offer a sacrifice, the exchange of that sacrificial animal for the life of their son. This is striking. When you think about it, it reminds me of a few weeks ago when we read about Jesus going down to the Jordan to be baptized by John. And what does John tell Jesus? He says, I need to be baptized by you, and yet do you come to me? And Jesus said, we will do this now to fulfill all righteousness. Likewise, we might think that it's Jesus who needs to redeem Mary and Joseph, and yet they go to the temple to redeem him. And so the pattern continues. Jesus is redeemed, and so you are redeemed. Jesus is baptized, so you are baptized. Jesus dies in the body, so you will die in the body. Jesus is raised from the dead, so you will be raised from the dead by Jesus. What a glorious picture. Back to our text. Simeon and Anna enter into this temple scene, two relatively old people compared to the young infant Jesus that we see. And we want to focus on Simeon's words this morning. Now, Simeon knows that his own death is near. In fact, he's sort of been waiting for it. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. There was one thing standing between Simeon and the grave: Jesus. He was waiting to see the salvation of God. Now, I have no idea what Simeon might have thought that meant before he sees Jesus. The Jews had all kinds of ideas what the Messiah would be like, what he would do, how he would come in power. I guess we can ask Simeon when we get to heaven what he thought. But when he saw Jesus, he knew that that was the one. Guided by God's Holy Spirit, he saw this infant child born to poor parents as the Messiah, the Lord's Christ. Most people just saw a baby boy. Simeon and Anna saw something much more. They beheld with eyes of faith who this child was and what he was to become. Now, we in our day have a lot more information about Jesus than Simeon and Anna could have possibly had. We have thousands of copies of fragments of the Old and New Testaments, and we know with a high degree of probability what the original authors of these documents wrote. We have archaeological evidence, historical evidence to support the writings of the New Testament and the Old. And we know Scripture declares Jesus to be the Messiah, the Lord's Christ, our salvation. And yet we doubt. We doubt because of our situation, our experiences, what we see with our eyes. We doubt God's care and love for us. We wonder whether this sin or that sin might exclude us from the Lord's salvation. We put our trust in ourselves, our money, our intelligence, rather than trusting the one who has all of creation in his hands, one who can even raise the dead. Perhaps we doubt because we cannot see. We are blind to the goodness of God in our own lives, blind to see who Jesus really is, reliant on our senses, our feelings, our attitudes, instead of what God plainly tells us. But Simeon, he was sure. This was the one who had come into the temple to be redeemed by his parents, was the one who was here to redeem all of humanity, to give his life as a ransom for many. And now Simeon could depart in peace, for his eyes had seen the light to reveal God to the Gentiles and the glory of Israel. He could die, knowing that God had kept his promise to him. Oh, to have faith like Simeon. Oh, to be able to hold the Savior of the world in your arms. Can you imagine? To know with the senses that God was real, that Jesus was our Savior too. Jesus tells his disciples that he came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. That is, to redeem us, to buy us back, to pay his life that we might have life. Of course, he serves us every day by supplying our needs of body and soul, but most especially, he serves us from this altar. Simeon saw the Lord's Christ, the Messiah. Simeon held the Messiah in his hands. He knew it was the Messiah through faith. You come to this altar, you open up your hands, and in your hands is placed the body of Christ, the Messiah. You do hold him. You hold him there in your very hands. You provide a cradle for the body of Christ, for the body of our Lord, and there you behold him. There you partake of him. There he gives you his body and his blood to eat and to drink. And you know that this is the Messiah through faith. Jesus looked like an ordinary baby. This looks like ordinary bread and wine. And yet we know that it is the body of Christ given for you and the blood of Christ shed for you. And that, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, is the very reason that Luther places these words of Simeon after we receive Holy Communion in our liturgy. Because our eyes have seen the salvation which he has prepared before us, before the face of all people, before your face, before your very eyes. And this true body and blood keeps you in the faith until life everlasting, until your death, when you receive the promises of your faith. For you see, now you and I can depart in peace. You can leave this life without fear, having been reconciled to God through the death and resurrection of Jesus, having been purchased with his blood, having seen the Lord's salvation. And what peace that brings. We have peace with God. The death of these mortal bodies is inevitable due to our sinful condition, but the resurrection of the dead is also inevitable. The resurrection of these bodies, which will be raised to immortality. So like Simeon, we do not need to fear death, our own, or that of our loved ones who die in the faith, because we are at peace with God. God has revealed to us his salvation in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. And this peace is ours to proclaim, to share with others, so that they too may see. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.